today on Enduring Word with David Guzik, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara.
We understand that we were made sinners in Adam, but we can be made righteous in Jesus Christ. And friends, here is the great principle. Remember I told you how our salvation rests on this foundation, or rather, if you were to take this away, you'd cut away the foundation of our salvation. I meant that with all of my heart. Because here's the principle. We were made sinners by the work of Adam. Therefore, we can be made righteous by the work of Jesus.
We have two men that represent humanity, sinful Adam or righteous Jesus. Which one represents you today? While Adam put a burden of sin and death over us, Jesus offers the free gift of righteousness and life. Pastor David will teach that if by the work of another man you are made a sinner, it's only fair that by the work of yet another man you are made righteous. Because of Jesus, grace reigns today, and you can choose righteousness over sin and death. Now here's Pastor David with part two of his message, The Two Men.
We know that the end of it all, God, the judge of all the earth, will do right. And he'll do right. You don't have to worry about that. Friends, on the day of judgment, when God settles everything, there's not a single person going to look at God and say, well, God, what were you doing when you did that? That was wrong. That was unfair. Everybody will see how perfect and true and faithful and merciful the judgments of God are. But friends, this is what I have to point out. As children are saved before the Lord, and when a little child goes to heaven, who was too young to make a personal decision for Jesus Christ, what I need you to understand, and please understand this plainly, they go to heaven because there's a merciful God in heaven who loves them. They don't go to heaven because they were innocent and sinless. That is what is important to notice. When we have in our head that babies go to heaven because they're innocent and sinless, we abandon this essential truth that we are made sinners because of what Adam did. No, friends, I believe that babies go to heaven, but it's not because they're innocents who deserve heaven, but it's because the rich mercy of God has been extended to them as well. That's what we have to stand on. All right, now, let's go back. Verse 13 now. He's dealing with an objection now, and you'll see how he deals with it beginning here at verse 13. He says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. You see, at the root of it all, we know that we're sinners because of Adam, not because we personally break the law of God. And we know this because sin and death are in the world and were in the world before the law was ever given. Think of it now. He says in verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin's not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. See, what Paul's dealing with is the objection that says, wait a minute, Paul. I'm not a sinner because of Adam. I'm a sinner because I personally broke the law of God. It's the law of God that makes us sinners or declares us to be sinners. It's not the work of Adam. Paul says, no, I object. Because look at before the law was ever given on Mount Sinai. When Moses received the law on Mount Sinai, did anybody die before that time? Of course they did. Well, wherever there's death, you see the result of sin. And he says, since death reigned between the time of Adam and Moses, you know for certain that sin was in the world. The principle is plain. Breaking God's law does not make us sinners. Adam makes us sinners. That's the principle Paul's driving at again and again and again. So now he's going to contrast the work of Adam and the work of Jesus. Look at it here in verse 15. He says, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. but the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Friends, now Paul is talking about these two great men who stand as representatives over the whole human race. We were born under the representation of Adam, correct? How do you know that? Because we all die. We're all subject to death. So Adam, because of his offense, passed on a legacy to everyone who he represents, and we are born under the representation of Adam. But now, Paul says, there's a different work come along. In verse 15, he says, the free gift is not like the offense. Okay, Adam did an offense, but Jesus came and offers a free gift. And as a result of Adam's offense, many died. But Jesus gives a free gift that has consequences for the entire human race, but in a different way. Through the free gift of Jesus, the grace of God abounded to many. Look, if I could put it just plain and simple out before you, Adam's work brought death, but Jesus' work brought grace. Now, both what Adam did and what Jesus did had consequences for all of humanity, but different consequences. We need to understand that. What was the consequence of what Adam did? Well, it brought death to everybody. Sinful nature was passed down to each and every one of us. And then as well, because of that sinful nature and the presence of sin, death was passed down to each one of us. And that was the result. Look at here. Paul describes the result of Adam's offense. He says many died. He says judgment resulting in condemnation and death reigned over man. But look at the results of Jesus's free gift. He says very beautifully and simply here, that grace abounded to many because of the free gift. That justification, because of many offenses that were laid on Jesus, and we can receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and we can reign in life. Well, you could chart it out right in front of you, couldn't you? You could put what Adam did in one column and say, well, what did Adam do? The result of his work was that many died. Judgment came to many. Condemnation came to many. Death reigned over many. But what happened because of what Jesus did? Well, grace abounded to many. Justification came. Abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness and reigning in life. And so, friends, what I want you to see is it's almost as if you could say that both Adam and Jesus are kings. I love how he puts it here in verses 15, 16, and 17. He says here in verse 17, for by the one man's offense, death reigned. Friends, death has reigned as a cruel tyrant over the human race ever since the time of Adam. You know, sometimes we call this the land of the living, don't we? Friends, this isn't the land of the living. This is the land of the dying. And every one of us, as soon as we take our first breath, the clock starts ticking and we are mortals. And you're born to die on this earth. I know you may have come to church this morning hoping for an uplifting message. And we'll get around to that, friends, really. But let's just face it right here. Death reigns as a cruel tyrant. I've noticed it particularly when I go to old cities in Europe and see the cemeteries there. And you see cemeteries that seem to stretch forever. And you walk through them and you look at the gravestones and you see them from 300 and 400 and 500 years ago. And you think, people have been dying for a long time on this earth. And you think of all the millions and billions of people who have ever lived and walked this earth and have died. And you say there is a reign of sin and death that Adam started upon this earth. Friends, Adam started a reign of sin and death. But I thank God. Look at it in verse 17. It's so glorious. He says, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Though it's true that Adam started a reign of sin and death, but Jesus started a reign of righteousness and life. And you know what I love about this? Look carefully at verse 17. He says, "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign." Much more. Have you ever heard the saying that there's only two certain things in this world, death and taxes? Well, I don't know if I can help you with the taxes part this morning, but the death part is plain for everybody to see. You know, the mortality rate in the human race runs just about 100%. If there's anything certain in your existence, it's that unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns for us first, friends, it can't happen soon enough for me. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. But unless the Lord Jesus returns first, every one of us is going to die. Everyone. It seems so certain. But do you know what's even more certain? Look at it. It says right there in verse 17, "Much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life." It's even more certain than the fact that you're going to die. If you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, if you've received the abundance of grace, if you received the gift of righteousness, then friends, it's much more certain that you will reign in life in Jesus Christ. It's even more certain than the fact that you're going to die. And I don't know of how many more facts that are more certain than that. It's more certain than death and taxes, if you want to say. Our eternal destiny with Jesus Christ. Well, in verse 18, he starts summarizing the idea of the two men here. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage. Look carefully at verse 18. "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life." Isn't that a beautiful summary of just what we've been talking about here? Yes, one man brought sin and death and destruction, but another one man, and his righteous act brought life and salvation. We were all born identified with Adam, but you can be born again into identity with Jesus Christ. Now, this idea that Adam and Jesus are the two representatives of the human race, sometimes it's called federal theology. It doesn't mean that it comes down from the federal government. The idea of federal means that a representative stands in your place. In our federal system of government, the idea is that we elect representatives who stand for us. Now, in this thinking, Adam and Jesus are sometimes referred to as federal heads. And the idea here is that Adam speaks for his representatives, those whom he represents, I should say, and Jesus speaks for those whom he represents. So I guess here's the only question here. Who represents you this morning? Is your identity tied up in sinful Adam or in righteous Jesus? Now, you may object. You may say, "Listen, I never chose Adam to represent me. This is a bum deal. You know, it's like I was just born into this and I never had a chance to choose him." Well, look, here's the bottom line. You did choose Adam to represent you. Well, when did I choose that? The first time you sinned. That first sin you committed. In the sandbox when you hit that little girl over the head and stole the truck from her because you wanted that. You sinned. And you know what you did? You cast your vote right then. You said, "I want to be identified with sinful Adam, not with righteous Jesus." Now, it's absolutely true that we were born into our identification with Adam, but we also chose it with our individual acts of sin. And what's the result of it? He says there in verse 18 that it's resulting in condemnation. But we can go another way, and by our personal relationship with trust in Jesus Christ, we can have it resulting in justification. So right now, there's an election before you. Who's going to represent you? Will Adam represent you? Now, what do you have to do to choose Adam? Nothing. You've already chosen him. You were born choosing him, and you chose him through your first and your continual acts of sin. What do you have to do to choose Jesus? He says right there in verse 18, you have to receive the free gift. Look at it. He says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. This is what you have to do to receive what Jesus did for you. You have to receive the free gift. You see, the words gift are never applied to what Adam did. It's not a free gift. It's a burden put upon us. But friends, you can find escape from that by receiving the free gift that Jesus gives to you. Friends, Jesus brought a free gift and Adam did not. And he holds that free gift out before you right now. Look how in verse 19 he sort of summarizes the contrast. He says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Yes, we understand that we were made sinners in Adam, but we can be made righteous in Jesus Christ. And friends, here is the great principle. Remember I told you how our salvation rests on this foundation, or rather, if you were to take this away, you'd cut away the foundation of our salvation. And I meant that with all of my heart. Because here's the principle. We were made sinners by the work of Adam. Therefore, we can be made righteous by the work of Jesus. And it's really the only way how it's fair for the work of Jesus to benefit us in every way. If each and every one of us were absolutely obligated to stand for ourselves and nobody could represent us, then each one of us is going straight to hell. That's all there is to it. You may come before God and say, look, I don't want Adam to represent me. I don't want Jesus to represent me. I'll represent myself before you. Thank you very much, God. And you know what you'll hear? You'll hear the gavel pound, and it'll say, guilty. Send that man, send that woman directly to eternal separation from me. The principle is simply this. If we are made sinners by the work of another man, then it is fair for us to be made righteous by the work of another man. If I robbed a bank, and if I was pronounced guilty by the judge, well, what would happen if a good friend of mine came alongside of me and came before the judge and he said, Your Honor, I love my friend so much that I want to serve his prison time. I want to stand in his place and receive the punishment that he deserves. What would the judge say? He'd say, you're crazy. He'd say, nonsense. We will not punish you for this crime. We're going to punish the man who committed the crime. It's only fair. He did the crime, so he has to serve the time and pay the penalty. But friends, the fact of the matter is if we were put into this mess by the work of another person, then it's entirely fair for us to be lifted out of it by the work of another person. And we say, thank you, God, for your wisdom in having us first represented in Adam so that we could find our representation in Jesus. Now again, let me speak to that person perhaps among us this morning. You say, I don't want to be represented by either Adam or Jesus. I want to stand on my own two feet and represent myself before God. First of all, you don't understand a couple things. You don't understand that it really isn't up to you. You didn't make the rules. God made them. And you were born represented by Adam. Secondly, you need to understand that the best you can offer to God in and of yourself, the Bible says, is as filthy rags before him. All our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6 says. You see, to God, our personal righteousness is like an offensive counterfeit. So standing for yourself guarantees your damnation. It's as if you owed a monetary debt before God. And you say, well, I'll pay it, God. And you pull out a big wad of bills, but it's all counterfeit. And you start counting it out before God. And you're all proud. Here, God, here it is. But there it is. It's all counterfeit. It says Monopoly right across the top of it. And God says, I won't accept this. This isn't legal tender before me. This isn't suitable payment. It's counterfeit. You have to have the currency that comes from my son, Jesus Christ. Well, let's sort of conclude here. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, Even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, Paul touches on some things that we can only touch on lightly here in these last two verses. The bottom line is Paul's sort of discussing the issue. Well, then if I'm not made a sinner by the law, then what good is the law? I thought the law was the whole thing that made me sin. Paul says, no, I'll explain to you the whole role of the law. Just hold with me. And then he brings up the whole idea here of, well, what's the relationship now between sin and righteousness and grace and all the rest of it? And for that, all I can say is, you got to come back next week, because in chapter 6, he starts answering the question that he brings up at the end of chapter 5. And Paul does it so brilliantly. But let me just conclude with this beautiful thought here in verses 20 and 21, where he says, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, because of Jesus, grace reigns. And it's the reign of grace that marks our life, not the reign of sin, not the reign of death. And we might have expected that where sin abounded, God's anger abounded, God's judgment abounded. But no, God's love is so amazing that where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. You know, I love how Paul puts it in the original ancient Greek language that he wrote in. Basically, he's saying where sin abounded, grace superabounded. I like that. Whatever sin does, God says, I'll not let that triumph. I'll bring my grace and righteousness to reign over it. Sin reigned in death, but grace reigns also. And the reign of grace is marked by righteousness and eternal life. And as we've seen before in the book of Romans, it's all through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, friends, I know that perhaps many, if not most of you, you've already come to Jesus. You've had your election, so to speak, where you've said, I'm going to put my decision, my trust in Jesus. I don't want to be identified in Adam any longer. I want to be identified in Jesus. If you haven't done that, well, now is a great morning for you to do it. I think you've realized, perhaps in a way you've never realized before, the fact that you were born with a debt before God. And you may not like that because you didn't have anything to do with it, but the fact of the matter is God offers you a salvation that you can have freely as well. So put your trust in Him this morning. But I recognize that many or most of you have already done that. But you know, some of you to this day, you tend to see yourself more in Adam than you do in Jesus. Well, isn't that true? Some of you walk around thinking that you are more identified in Adam than you are in Jesus. I want to point you to the scriptures this morning and shake you loose from that and say your identification with Adam should be a distant memory. Oh, I know the after effects of it reverberate in your life, and this sinful nature is going to stay with us until our redemption is complete in the resurrection of our Lord and our own resurrection. Friends, what I'm trying to say is God wants you to see your identification in Jesus right now this morning. So stop thinking that you're that same old sinner that you were born as. No, God's brought a new king into your life. The reign of grace through righteousness is more certain and more powerful than the reign of sin and death in your life. So would you ask God this morning to give you the faith, not just to receive it, but to live like it, to live under the reign of grace.
We are so glad you joined us today on Enduring Word. We pray the words you heard today have touched you and encouraged you in your own spiritual walk. We'd like to invite you to visit the website at enduringword.com, where you'll find additional messages by Pastor David free to listen to online or download. You can also subscribe to the Enduring Word podcast. In this busy world, it's hard to set aside time to study the Bible in depth. We've tried to make that a little easier for you. By subscribing to the podcast, you'll have sound biblical teachings with you on the go, right on your smartphone, tablet, or computer. Find a link to our podcasts under the Media tab at enduringword.com. Right now, we'd like to take a moment to tell you how you can be involved in this ministry. Programs like this are valuable ministry tools God uses to expand His kingdom right here on earth. And we feel so blessed to be a part of that with Enduring Word. Would you join us in praying for God's wisdom and guidance in our continuing ministry? We'd also like to ask you to prayerfully consider supporting Enduring Word financially. Any amount is useful and greatly appreciated. You can find out more by visiting enduringword.com and clicking on donate. Thank you for taking this matter before the Lord. That's all the time we have for today. Be sure to tune in again as Pastor David presents more from the book of Romans, right here on Enduring Word.